What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Second Opinion Podcast. Episode number 357, Will Assassin's Creed Shadows Flourish in Feudal Japan? My name is Celeb, and I'm joined by a very special guest, the one and only Toaster McGee. How are you, sir?
Not bad. How about yourself?
I'm here. Getting older by the day.
I'm hiding the front of my beard for that very reason.
Hold up real quick. Let me say this. Bolts commented on the Facebook post. It was like, oh, I see. Bolts continuously keeps telling me, he's like, sell me your laptop. I'm like, I'm not selling you my laptop. This is how, like, we're trying to move into this format. I planned on uploading a previously recorded episode of the Second Opinion Podcast, and it was literally hours after Xbox announced that they were closing studios. And
dude, I don't know.
Listen, I was fuming.
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Like, so I like go back and listen to it. And I'm like, I can't upload this, bro. Like, I'm like, dude, I was fuming, man.
Like, you remember a couple of years back, we were fans of Phil Spencer. We were like, Phil Spencer's the man. Like, he's awesome. He understands business and gaming. He's blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fire everybody. Like,
yeah, bro.
Yeah. I no longer like Phil Spencer. I mean, yeah, it was shitty, like, what they did after the Activision-Blizzard merger, because if you recall during the court cases, one of the things they said is, we're not going to fire anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And then what did they do?
Yeah.
They fired a bunch of fucking people.
Yeah, like, right off the bat, they had said that they didn't plan on letting a lot of people go, that this merger was going to bring a different type of health and rejuvenation to Xbox like we had never seen before and all this other stuff. And of course, just like PlayStation, they went back on their word and let a bunch of people go. So before we get into what we've been gaming, we can briefly talk about this.
So this would be like a whole show.
I know, but we're going to keep it brief. So you go ahead and start.
This has been something I'm sorry to kind of seize this moment here, but this has been something that's been kind of sitting in the back of my head with all of this. And it's, I think there's a couple of things that come into play here. One, again, this goes back to, you know, this is the same thing I've been saying, being the crunchy gaming hippie I am. Yeah. Shareholders should not be the people driving business decisions at gaming studios. They don't fucking know what fans really want. You know, everybody sees the success of Fortnite, Apex Legends, you know, and those are, like, I don't want to say they're flashes in a barrel, because there is a market for those games, but for the most part, people want shit like Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, Baldur's Gate 3, you know, single player games that aren't focused on live service and just bereft with fucking microtransactions.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, I think COVID fucked up a lot of people.
It did.
Personally, for me, I've been burnt out on video games, dude. And I used to be in line at midnight launches, knowing I still had to be to work the next morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning. But nothing coming out has really excited me that much anymore. Yeah. You know, I mean, and it's also these whole things now, like the movement is, let's put the game out there. And then when fans shit all over it, let's fix it with a massive patch. And I think that goes back to the shareholder thing.
Yeah.
I loved Activision Blizzard back when you would ask Blizzard, when is this going to be done? And they'd be like, when it's finished.
Yeah.
When's that?
Like, when it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and these other studios are looking at Larian like, ah, no, that's not, you know, that's a freak thing. That's a one-time thing. They're shooting themselves in the face with that viewpoint on it. And I really hope Sven, the CEO of Larian, continues to take these studios to tasks over this, you know, like, you're asking us to spend anywhere from $60 to $120 on a video game. And you're putting out shitty product that's half baked because the people in suits are telling you, you need to launch by this date.
Yep.
Like, you know, I get it. They're a publicly traded company, but honestly, Microsoft can fucking print money at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the corner market on enterprise software, home software. You know, I mean, it's not like anybody's out there running their company on fucking Apple servers.
Yeah.
You know,
that, and look, to interject, that's 100% the truth. You know, they're a $1 trillion company, and still to this day, the Sarah Bond interview did not help the situation. We still don't know the actual, like, real reasoning behind why these studios were closed, outside of just saying, oh, well, you know, they didn't really have a lot of people. And Shinji Mikami had left the studio and they didn't really have a big active push. But then you find out afterwards that not only did they have an active push, but the game was one of the most successful games to come out. Like, Hi-Fi Rush was one of the most successful games to come out of the studio since the studio had opened. And also the development team had already come to Microsoft and said, hey, we want to make a Hi-Fi Rush 2. And at that point in time, they were like, well, it's not something we're focusing on now. Yeah, because they planned on closing the studio. So it is irritating, and it's hard. It's hard for us as avid fans of gaming, but also as people that want to eventually, have had that mindset to eventually move into, I want to get into, you know, the gaming scene full time. It's hard for us to even have any type of mindset of thinking that could be possible, because of the open possibility of everyone just losing their job. You know, most of these people that we have seen lose their job over the last two fiscal years are people that have worked their ass off to get to that point. And I will always use her as a, you know, pivotal type of person that worked her way up through the gaming scene as a video game journalist, podcaster, content creator, and all this other stuff that lost her job from PlayStation. And that's Liana Roper. You know, Liana is like one of the salt of the earth type people that works her ass off, that cares about community, cares about gaming, and she lost her job. So it is irritating to see this happen across the board. So I don't want to just make it seem like it's just Microsoft, because we have seen it happen at PlayStation as well. But like, to shutter the studios that have been shuttered, when your company is worth trillions of dollars, it is very irritating. And there are some people that were able to be merged into, you know, ZeniMax and all this other stuff, but still, this is something that these developers are going to have on their mind on a constant basis. You know, they're going to constantly think, okay, so before it was, if our game is not a success, they can close our studio down. Now it's, if our game is a, they can just fucking close it. It could be the biggest, most massive game launch.
Somebody could be caving and like nick their cheek and go, well, fuck it, I'm closing that studio.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you know, sorry, I know it was a massive success, and you know, you know, the game made us a ton of money, console sale wise, and all this other stuff. It's hard not to also lead it back to, is Game Pass connected to this effect? You know, is the Game Pass format not working the way we thought that, you know, it would be working?
I kind of view Game Pass the same way I view Amazon. I like it, but I feel guilty as shit every time I use it.
Yeah, because like, because
I'm paying $15 or $17 a month.
Yeah, bro.
And there's, I mean, it's stupid the amount of games that are available, and you know, now, you know. Like with Bethesda, for instance, I would have happily dropped $60-$70 on Starfield. We know that, you know? Yeah. And also, at the same time, you and I both being fans of Bethesda understand that no Bethesda game releases final in good shape when it launches. None of them do.
Yeah,
you know?
Never.
But they fix it, unless they're on PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Skyrim.
still not fixed.
Yeah, you know, and you know, but like that makes me wonder because, like, yeah, I ponied up the extra $20 for like the Ultimate Edition so I could play it a couple of days before it launched.
Yeah,
you know, but that, you know, that's how much in sales was Bethesda losing out on prior to the merger with Microsoft. Now it's just like, you know, if they're gonna make money on Bethesda titles, it's gonna have to be, you know, via Game Pass and via, you know, cross-platform releases. Like,
yeah,
like limiting Starfield to Xbox, that was a shit move. That was a shit fucking move.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. They own the IP, they can do what they want, but I mean, come on, man. You know,
well, and, you know,
this fan base doesn't totally live on Xbox.
Yeah, and you know, another thing though too is like we see now that Xbox has let's say this, leakers and the rumor mill has been running, and it is being said that a lot of these Xbox exclusives are coming to PlayStation now. And it's not
the only way they're going to make money off of it.
Like, dude, like I was on a Twitter live event the other day with a bunch of gentlemen, and they were talking about this, and I had added my two cents in and said, why would they not bring this to PlayStation? Why would they not bring some of these other titles to Nintendo Switch? But before I even called myself out, I had said, you know, of course they're a $1 trillion company. Why would they not keep these games available just on Xbox? That's the best way of making sales. But the problem is it's not the best way of making sales because it's people that we're in a area now in gaming to where people really invest in PC gaming. Like I would probably say there's more people now that play PC than what there was, you know, 15 years ago. And this is the biggest bump in PC gaming that we have seen because, you know, you have these mass amount of Steam games that are coming out, indie games that are coming out like constantly. All these kids, all these younger gamers that all want to be streamers, that all want to be content creators. So they can't do that just basically off of a console. You know what I'm saying? There's not a way of really doing that outside of just going live and trying to do your best. If you want to sell your show, if you want to sell yourself as, you know, a content creator, you have to have a good PC. You have to have things like Restream and, you know, I can't even remember what it's called. I was going to say ODST.
Halo, the Halo streaming service.
The Halo streaming platform.
Master Chief shows up and goes, what are you doing?
You gotta have all this stuff set up. You gotta have Streamlabs and all this other stuff set up.
Well, you know, I think the console wars kind of fucked some things.
It did.
You know, I honestly think, like, because I think the exclusivity thing just got blown out of fucking proportion. Because at first it was exclusives. And then it turned into timed exclusives. And then now it's like, you know, maybe we should share the pot. And I think it stagnated console development.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to come out with anything groundbreaking because God of War was only available on PlayStation. You know? And then going back to the Sony lawsuit against Microsoft when they tried to, you know, stop that merger, Sony shot themselves in the foot. The person for Sony was that was representing them at a court, the day that person opened their mouth, other people at Sony above that person should have been, come on.
Yeah.
You know, because the minute they got themselves into that rabbit hole where the judge was like, well, is Microsoft ever going to see Spider-Man? And then Sony was like, no. Like right there. Like the answer should have been, well, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
You know, because then that opened up Pandora's box to the amount of IPs that Sony owns exclusively that they're like, no, this is never going to go on Xbox. You know? So, and it's hilarious that the cross-platform conversation was driven by fucking Nintendo initially.
Yeah.
With Fortnite. And Nintendo had a big enough bat in that fight to make Sony open up, you know, cross-platform play on some of their games. You know, I think the exclusivity thing is done. It needs to go by the wayside. Because if Microsoft and Sony are going to survive in a console space, something needs to happen to drive innovation again.
Yeah, I agree.
if that catalyst is the fact that I can get God of War on any fucking console I want, then that's what needs to happen.
Yep.
Sony needs to give their customers a reason to buy a PlayStation. Xbox needs to give their customers a reason to buy an Xbox. And it's not going to be an exclusive title. That's not what's going to happen. Because what's going to happen is, and this goes to your point, it's just going to drive more people to PC gaming. Mm-hmm. Because everything coming out for Xbox is available on PC.
Yeah.
And now like, Sony is starting to put some of their massive titles on PC. Like, I'm really tempted to buy God or Ghost of Tsushima. Because I really want to see what that looks like on a 4070 Ti.
Listen, a lot of people are not going to understand this, but I mean, Bolts, of all people, text me the other day a picture of a PlayStation 5. And as long as you and me have been podcasting together, you know, Bolts is a huge, huge Xbox fan. I'm talking about huge Xbox fans. So he has always been and kind of one of those guys that's like always will be and one of those big Xbox fanboys. And I was shocked. Yeah, yeah.
The 360, like, you and I were like, you, me, and Jay, we were all about the 360. Like, we looked down on PlayStation users.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because there's a lot of people out there that I've talked to that have known me for a while and they've tried to, throw salt on my name, like throw salt on the wound and try to talk about how I used to be a big PlayStation fanboy. Yes, I was a really big fan of PlayStation games. And yes, at one point in time, I kind of talked shit on the Xbox 360 because I was all about the Sony platform. But
actually, you know, it was me and Jay versus you because you're a PlayStation fanboy.
This gentleman that's on the camera eventually made me understand how amazing Xbox was at that time when it came down to bringing out exclusive titles like Mass Effect, BioShock, like all these big ass games that were only available on the Xbox 360, you know, and another thing too,
and it was bad that I looked down on people that played Mass Effect on the PlayStation when they released on the PlayStation. Cause I was like, that's not really Mass Effect, dude.
Yeah. That's not Mass Effect. That's
I played through a motion comic. No, get out of here. You're not.
Yeah. It's not the same thing, bud. You know, and there's a lot of people that don't realize too, that there was a lot of those games that is what sold those consoles and not just the games themselves, but the platform, because Xbox was the best place to play Call of Duty at. Like, it had the best lobbies.
Was a lot better.
The community was wild, bro. I mean, it was wild. Like, if you wanted to get into a Call of Duty match and talk some mad ass shit to some people, that was the community to get into. And also the fact that Xbox had these exclusive deals that, like, it would be months before PlayStation saw some of this DLC, you know, and they had that for years. So with that said, me and Jeremy are both irritated still at the fact that these studios were closed. Now I will say Phil Spencer is set to sit down during Summer Game Fest at a YouTube live event with Ryan McCaffrey to just talk about Xbox. And this was scheduled before this announcement. So I feel like Phil is going to have some stuff to talk about. And this is no shade at Sarah Bond. I'm sorry. But this is no shade at Sarah Bond. But I feel like Phil might be able to talk better on this than Sarah did, because
he has a lot of faith to reinstill in people.
Yeah, bro. Like, and like, he also, another thing too, like, I don't know if you watched that full interview, but
I haven't, honestly, I've been up to my eyeballs with my job. So I've been
a lot of these comments that she was given, it just felt corporate, man. It just felt like a straight corporate comment. Like, there was one question at one point in time, it was like, you know, why, you know, Hi-Fi Rush had multiple Game of the Year nominations, and it was a really massive release for it being an Xbox studio. So why the closure? And she made a comment of something like, well, you know, we want to bring the best to Xbox. And, you know, we've looked at everything, and each one of these, it was the most like corporate blank answer of like, you know, we've looked at these studios and the decision, it was almost like the decision wasn't made off the whim. But it's like, hard not to think this was made off the whim.
Letting your like highest score on the basketball, you're like cutting, like, you know, like cutting. Wow, I'm out of touch with basketball term. I was going to like cutting Larry Bird back in the day. I understand that you score like 30 something points a game, yeah, and you're like the number one, you know, three throw and 3-point thrower in the league. But it's just not good enough.
It's not working out. That's like them releasing like Gears of War 6. And then the day after the release, they're like, we're closing, you know, we're closing the studio down. You know, like it to me, Hi-Fi Rush was one of those games that brought in all different types of genre fanboys. You know what I'm saying?
I
mean, like it was.
I tried it. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
It was too, I don't know. It's too flashy.
You're like, it was too beady. There's too many colors. My eyes just, I almost.
I hate that you were saying what I was actually trying to say. Fuckhead.
You old man.
I'm old and I can't keep up with video games anymore. You're like,
there was too much going on the screen. Okay. I thought I was tripping on LSD. Oh my God. No, but moving on from that, we're going to go ahead and move into, you know, what have you been gaming? And then we got a good couple of little things that we're going to talk about. So, Toaster, what you been gaming?
So, Loot Reborn, Diablo 4. Okay. It's like Diablo 3 on fucking speed now. It's hilarious.
Ooh. Yeah.
I kind of wish
to get back into Diablo then.
I kind of wish they had figured out some way to like revamp the main quest line to give you a reason to kind of go back through and play it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's fun. Like, I mean, I'm not looking for fucking earth shattering story out of Diablo. Like if I have like an hour to play and fuck around with, I'm just going to go in there and kill some demons.
Yeah.
I've also got bit by the Starfield and Fallout patches. The surface map update to Starfield, again, going back, like, why can't you just finish a fucking game and then release it? Not release this half-baked shit and then get, you know, like, oh shit, maybe we should fix it when everything, like, CD Projekt Red, I love you guys. You know that. You hold a special place in my heart. You can do no fucking wrong. However, you set a very bad example with Cyberpunk 2077. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not all your fault, and this is going to be brutal because I have held my tongue long enough with some people. If you watched the original trailer for Cyberpunk 2077 at E3 and went, that'll run on my PlayStation, or that'll run on my 360, or my One, you're an idiot.
It was a pretty intense trailer.
Right, like I'm done being nice, you know, because there's people still out there bitching. And it's like, look, I get it. We're at that point in a console generation where things are kind of teetering toward the new ones. I mean, they're already talking about a new PlayStation, like PlayStation 6.
And like, a new Xbox.
And a new Xbox, right? But, you know, so anyway, I'm so glad that, like, they dug themselves out of that hole. And Cyberpunk is an amazing game. If you haven't played it yet, fucking go get the goddamn game. It's on sale. They fixed it. It's a role-playing game. There's a fast transportation system. You can take the subway if you want to. But like, I think that really set a really bad, that and No Man's Sky, those two games, I think kind of set a, well, we'll fix it in post-test. And it's like, no, nobody wants to spend $80 on a game that sucks.
Yeah.
And have to wait 6 months for you to come out with a massive patch that just completely redoes the game.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the God's honest truth, dude.
Like, and the Fallout patch, that's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it'd be a lot cooler if it worked when they first launched it. Yeah. Bethesda.
But listen, just hear me out. The Fallout patch, I don't know about you, but the Fallout patch to me makes the game feel like it almost makes the game feel like they re-released it. You know what I'm saying? Like
it's working on the Xbox.
Yeah.
So I thought it was working initially. Like I was like, I don't really see too much of a difference, but I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and I was playing and then I started reading articles and like I was reading a Reddit forum and somebody was like, play it on the PlayStation and flip on quality mode and tell me that there's no difference. And I was like, go to my PlayStation because that's the console I originally bought it on.
Yeah.
Turn it on, get the patch all installed and everything, flip it over to quality mode, and sure as shit, I'm like, those motherfuckers.
It's great, bro. I mean, it's honestly, it's really, really great.
Like, yeah. I mean, you know, you put it on quality mode, knock it to 30 frames per second because you're playing Fallout. You don't need, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's not like you're playing freaking Call of Duty and every frame counts.
Yeah.
You know, I like it. I got sucked back into it to the point where our good friend Dunny just was blasting me on Discord because he's like, are we ever going to finish that Baldur's Gate campaign for fuck's sake?
You're like, no, I'm playing Fallout.
No, I got sucked in. I mean, the surface map patch for Starfield is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the visual tweaks. I thought the game was beautiful from the start. The facial animations are a little dead, which is kind of uncanny valley-ish when you're in some of the conversations. But then again, when you come, like, the one thing I will say about the studios at Sony, for the most part, when it comes to fucking animation and facial and emotional, you know, rendering and stuff, studios, like Guerrilla with, you know, the Horizon series, the first one was really good, but, you know, Forbidden West, for fuck's sake, like, when you see people trying to remember stuff, their eyes move in the way that it was like, what, you know, and then, you know, Star Wars Survivor, like, you know, and then I started the Mists of Pandaria remix.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which is, it's like Diablo-ish. It's like Diablo 4 and WoW had a baby.
Well, look, I've said this a million times. With Xbox now owning Activision,
WoW is coming.
If WoW comes to console, then I'm playing with you. You know what I'm saying? I've said it. If they ever brought WoW to console, I'll play it. If they bring WoW to console, then I promise you I'll be on it day one. No question.
I've already told my guild. I was like, I will be the biggest achievement whore. I will have a max level tune of every character. And they're like, what's the big difference? I'm like, I just want to lay on my couch and fucking play WoW.
Right?
Like, I can't do that with a keyboard and mouse. I just want to.
Yeah.
You know, and then they were like, well, you can get add-ons. I was like, no, I want native controller support. Like, I want Blizzard to design it, then release it, because it's the only way it's going to properly integrate itself in a game that has been traditionally keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, and people who are like, well, there's too many buttons. A, clean up your action bars. B, there's not, if you think about it. I mean, like, look at games where, you know, you look at your shooters.
Yeah.
Right bumper, left bumper, both do something. Triggers do something. You know, the buttons do something. The D-pads do something. Clicking down on the thumbsticks do something. You know, you're already dealing with a base set of keys, an action bar, you'll say, of 8 buttons. That's already your primary action bar right there. And then you have, you know, delayed press, right trigger, left trigger. I mean, there's a lot that can be done with a controller.
They could easily channel it into it. They could easily, I mean, listen, if you don't remember, when Diablo 3 was announced for PlayStation, and you guys were freaking out more than anything that you could roll. Like, you were like, huh, you can roll now. And I'm like, I remember being at PAX and being like, okay, what do you mean? And you're like, you couldn't roll previously.
You couldn't dodge.
You couldn't dodge at all.
Yeah.
You can't roll out of the way. You can't dodge. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, that's really basic, bro. So the fact that I almost feel like most of these games, like Diablo and whatever, Diablo feels great on console. So I would think that a game And it's proven already with games like Elder Scrolls Online and some of these other MMO style titles. I feel like WoW would just work perfectly on console. But gaming wise, I have been playing a good chunk of stuff. I've been playing Lego City with my son. It's like Grand Theft Auto and Legos. Also been playing. It is, bro. It is. You should play it.
I'm just trying to imagine.
Write somebody walking.
Like a Lego dude just tearing somebody out of a car.
Let's say this. It's like an E for everyone, Grand Theft Auto. Let's
just beat a prostitute that. In the back.
Right. It's very open world, and you could do a lot of different stuff, and Dante has really been enjoying it. So we've been playing that. Also, me and Amara and Dante have been playing we're on the last level of Super Mario Wonder, which is a great game.
The Last of Us. I was
gonna say, The Last of Us. No, he wanted to play, what was it yesterday? He wanted to play Ghost of Tsushima, and I'm like, no, you're not going to play that. So you can sit here and watch me play it, but I'm not. We're not going to do it. So, but also,
I'm going to watch me explore the countryside because that's about all you're going to watch.
Exactly. I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima as well. What else? I've been playing Helldivers. So, one of the greatest multiplayer games on the market.
I hear that. I'm scared to play that game. I started to, and then I was like,
you can't help it, bro.
I've gotten to the point where I can hold my own in Destiny now.
Yeah.
And this is referencing Toaster's first-person shooter level. Like, there's a reason he was called the entry-level bot for a long time.
It's not the best, but... It's gotten pretty good. That's good. I'm glad. Yeah. You've come a long way.
I've been using the same fucking auto rifle and scout rifle for the past, like, 4 years in Destiny 2. Because I refuse to get rid of it. They look cool and they do the impact of the auto rifle is just dumb. Wow. it's like shotgun level impact out of an assault rifle, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. But Helldivers is just great. It's really fun. It's a great multiplayer experience. And now I have another reason to play it since Bolt's got a PlayStation. So him and me are gonna do some gaming through that. But before we move into anything too big, this is the wrong slide. I knew I was going to do that. Before we move into anything else that we're really going to talk about, I do want to talk about where we will be in the coming weeks. Why is it not sharing? I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, in the coming weeks, we will be sharing, we will be covering Summer Games Fest. We'll be in California for Summer Game Fest. I'm very excited about it. There we go. Now it's up. I'm very excited for it. So there's a great amount of partners that will be at the event, like 2K, Amazon. So is this Amazon the new games. E3? Pretty this much,
looks like the E3, new E3.
Yeah, it's pretty much the new E3. It's pretty much taken over the E3 slot. So everything is happening around the same exact time with the Ubisoft Forward, the Xbox press conference. But there's some really great partners that are going to be there, like Blumhouse Games, Amazon Games, Capcom, PlayStation, Magic, Netflix Games, Sega. You know, you can see the full list right there. But I am very excited. Actually, right before that, me and Bolts and my wife and his wife are going to Alabama. We're going to be at Gulf Shores. So I am excited for that. And we're going to go there and have a relaxing time. I come back to Texas for one day. And then the next morning I go to Dallas and fly out to Los Angeles. So I'll be in Los Angeles from the 6th through the 11th. And I can't really talk about everything that is set up for us to be covering at this point in time. I can say that I was invited to the event, to cover the event, and I am super stoked and excited to be there. So I am very, very grateful and blessed to have this opportunity.
It's and Bejeweled 7, everybody. That's the whole reason he's going out there.
I can't wait, man. It's going to be awesome. Bejeweled
7.
Yes, exactly. So
I'm
going to
get
yeah.
for breaking that NDA.
Bejeweled 7 is going to change gaming forever. So real quick hit kind of topic. Fallout is officially coming to Fortnite in season 3.
Why?
Because everything comes to Fortnite, Toaster. So the biggest thing is right now before this announcement is the really big influence that Star Wars is bringing to Fortnite. So in Star Wars and Fortnite Lego, there's actually different areas that you can go to and the Empire has taken over. And you can take on stormtroopers and all this other stuff. There's a really big Star Wars event planned for the game as well. And then in season 3, Fallout is coming. So I am really excited and really hoping to see them do like some type of influence of like, you know, like Nuka-Cola World there or.
I'm only accepting this if Dogmeat is available to.
I would think that he would be available. I would.
Like,
I mean,
I think Dogmeat should be like a special attack.
Right. If not, then I'm going to be very disappointed. So
and every time he shows up, somebody's like, out of nowhere, Dogmeat.
Right. So that was just kind of
like,
a quick
I can't tell you how many times I've shot Dogmeat in my game.
Oh, bro, listen.
Because he does. Literally just comes out of nowhere. You're like, I got this guy lined up, going to shoot him in the head. Nope.
Chirping. Yeah, especially whenever you send a mini nuke. To the like not even paying attention, but Dogmeat's running towards the super mutant the last time I was playing.
There's a mod. Like, there's a mod because believe this or not, Dogmeat originally was not supposed to count as a companion.
Really?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because so I got there's a mod that you can get that allows you to keep Dogmeat with you even if you have another companion with you, which is awesome because now I have two people that can carry my shit. But I don't know if maybe this was like because of the machinist or the mechanic, whatever the mechanics quest chain, if you have to have Ada with you and that's why this dialogue happened. Mm-hmm. But if not, it was just further proof that Dogmeat should have been. And I guess there's like a bunch of stuff in the code where he doesn't register in certain areas as a companion.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So like, yeah, like it's one of the, it's one of two mods I downloaded.
Yeah.
But
I downloaded way too many mods, bro.
Like he does it like every time there's a fucking suicide, super mutant with a new dog. Meets
yes.
dog.
Yes. Every time. Like he was actually following me on one of the, when I started replaying the game, I don't even know how he got up there, but he had followed me. I'm pretty sure it was a glitch, but he had like jumped, like was on top of the building with me and jumped off of the building. And then he lands on, and he's like, I'm like,
yeah, no, I don't. I can't tell you the number of times I've been like walking along a plank across a roof and all of a sudden, seriously, dog.
I love doing these live, but I hate getting messages like this. Hello, sorry for bothering you. I want to offer you a promotion for your channel, viewers and followers. The price is low, lower than any of the competitors. I'm like, bro, come on, stop.
I was gonna try to make the word scam into like a money thing.
Yeah, exactly. Our first main topic is pretty crazy. So reports now say that Call of Duty 2024 is definitely for real coming to Game Pass. Xbox is reportedly set to add this year's Call of Duty, which is yet to be officially revealed, to Game Pass at launch in what would be the first for the series and the publisher. So this is sourced through VG247. So shout out to them. But this is said through, according to the Wall Street Journal, Microsoft will announce.
Wait. Did you Did you just drop the Wall Street Journal on our podcast?
Hey, listen, I've got to source it, man. I've got to source this information. I'm
first,
telling
it was
you,
Forbes. This is it was Wall Street. Where did you get your gaming news from? Wall
Street Journal. No, this is from VG, and they linked, you know. But I'm just connecting the sources.
Our reference, our
a few, you know, years ago,
sources of information are getting more and more legit.
Listen, a few years ago, a situation occurred to where I think somebody had used an image or something like that was from a different site to like post something up real quick. And it was this big thing. Like, they were like, well, there's like more than one on there. So like, I try to source everything. If I get an image from a different site, I get an image from Google. I don't care if I'm talking about dog meat taking a shit. If I saw it on fucking line, I'm sourcing where I found it.
No, I'm just pointing out the fact that ten years ago, we would have never referenced the Wall Street Journal for any of our gaming news. Like, and you know, it's the same thing. Like when Paul Tassi, I think, started writing for Forbes.
Yeah,
like that dude writes some real good stuff. Like, I like reading his shit, but again, every time I pull it up, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm reading about Mass Effect or Fallout or whatever game on Forbes.
Yeah, so I
make enough money to read this magazine.
Right, you can't even read it without a subscription. Okay, so it says, according to the Wall Street Journal, this has been reported that Microsoft will announce Call of Duty's impending arrival on Game Pass during the Xbox Game Showcase on June 9th. The report has changed multiple times before this, though, stating previously that Xbox did not plan on bringing Call of Duty to Game Pass. I will say this, that I think it would be very, it would not be too smart to not bring Xbox to Game Pass, but I do feel it would be better for Xbox to bring previously released Call of Duties to Game Pass first before some of these mega hits. Now, I don't know if they're trying to just really rack up subscription bases. I would think that's what they're doing with this move, because, you know, what's the easiest way of getting subscriptions? Saying something like Call of Duty, the newest Call of Duty, is going to be available on Game Pass day one. That it right there, if people do not have an Xbox, or if you do have a PC and you are a streamer that loves first-person shooters and Xbox makes that announcement, you know, this is a mega hit. You know, this is an instantaneous, okay, well, I'm getting Game Pass, you know, so I can play it day one. Yeah. Now, this is the thing, too, is you subscribe to Game Pass. Say you subscribe for the whole year of Game Pass, or just a month of Game Pass, just so you can make content on it. It's going to save you money instantaneously, because instead of you having to go out and buy some mega edition of the game, you get the game on Game Pass. And then if you want to get season pass with it, then you can just get the season pass for $24.99 or $39.99. So you're paying half the cost.
All the money you were going to spend on the game, you can use on cosmetics.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you can write an article about why you hate microtransactions.
Yeah. Listen, microtransactions, we talked about this, Jeremy. Okay. We talked about this.
I just think it's fucking hilarious that every time there's a game that comes out with a store, there's always people out there going, well, that's microtransactions. Because you keep buying shit.
We talked about this.
Because you bought the purple top hat with the peacock feather. That's why.
That we used to really tote ourselves about being second opinion is being so against microtransactions. Because at the time, the big thing with microtransactions were the whole pay-to-win systems. But now, it is, you know, Fortnite is microtransactions. Like, they should put that in the dictionary. Like, you know, microtransactions. Purchasable items in games like Fortnite. That's the whole aspect of the game.
That's the point I'm trying to make, though, is people still get pissed about the fact that there's microtransactions. They're not there. Like, there are some that are pay to win. Like,
yes,
there's nothing you can tell me is going to make me think that Lost Ark is not a pay to win game. I'm sorry. You can tell me about that.
Yeah.
You know, but like games like Fortnite and stuff like that, when people are complaining about microtransactions, you don't have to use them. You're just doing it because you want that trench coat or you want to look like Spider-Man. Like, that's it.
I'm going to tell you right now, bro. Like,
I'm a fan of cosmetic stuff. Like, that's cool. Yeah. You know, it breathes new life into the game. You know, like, WoW is, you know, transmogging is a huge thing in World of Warcraft. Yeah. Like, I get those kind of microtransactions.
Yeah.
And it's just baffling to me that people still bitch about them. And it's like, but it's not required to beat the game. Yeah. So you have to do it.
And you secretly buy them. You know, like, don't bitch about it. So I had stopped playing Fortnite. It was months and months ago. But when they announced Fortnite,
when I watched my nephew play and saw how quick he just scope sniped people, and I was just like, no.
Well, it's just a lot. It became fun again when they added zero builds. So when it became more of a shooter instead of more of a builder shooter, then I was down to play it. But I stopped playing it and everything was good. And then they announced, Metal Gear Solid skins are coming to the game. And I'm like, well, fuck, I guess I'm getting back on there. I got
to
have.
Totally bought the silver I needed in Destiny to get the Mass Effect skins.
Yeah, exactly. And listen,
I mean, my ship in Destiny is the Normandy.
Exactly. So that's what I'm doing with when Fallout comes to Fortnite. I'm whatever.
You know,
I'm
if they release like Mass Effect armor skins for Dead Space, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So back to this. The big thing with this is that this is a really good way of Xbox showcasing to its upper management that a game like Call of Duty can bring subscriptions. So we have talked about this before. How are they making their money? You know, how are they, like, from this subscription base, how are they really racking in the same exact type of money that they would for a full exclusive release that could be anywhere between $69 and $149? But there's a way that they are bringing in the bucks, bro. They're bringing in this money because of the active user base. And this is what their investors are looking for. This is the format that Microsoft has been pushing for years. And this is what these type of releases is what is going to solidify Xbox as being one of those studios out there that said, you know, 10 to 20 years from now, Xbox is going to be one of those brands that said, we did it first, because Game Pass has made streaming gaming and downloadable subscription-based services into what it is today. Xbox is the gaming side of Netflix. Netflix, you know, completely destroyed DVD rentals. It destroyed Blockbuster. It destroyed Movie Gallery. It destroyed all these things.
Well, no, you know,
and Xbox right now is at that pivotal point that, you know, people can say, and I can say, and you and me can both feel the way that we feel about Xbox, but we can't turn away from the facts that Xbox Game Pass is still to this day one of the best values in gaming.
Well, so this also goes back to, you remember the podcast we did when they announced the Xbox One, the original one?
Yeah, and it was like digital.
Remember the dude that like basically was like, when they announced the online all the time, and he went on and he was like, well, if you live in an area without, that's your problem. Like, you remember? Yeah. And like, I wrote an article about that. Mm-hmm. Like, we fucking raked that kid over the coals.
Yeah.
Like, so did everybody.
Yeah.
And dude, it was a toe dip in the pool. That's what it was. It was Microsoft going, go say that and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then everybody fucking blew up and they're like, all right, hold off. Mm-hmm. And then slowly they started, you know, These little baby steps of, you know, and then bam, here we go. We got Game Pass. Diablo 3 or Diablo 4 is a live service game. Like, you know, all of a sudden, everybody's cool with the online requirement, you know?
Yep. That's really honestly the truth, because as we have seen over the last, you know, as we have seen over the last 5 years, most every game that comes out, unless it is a, like, announced, hey, it's only single player, Everything that has been announced is it has to be connected online. Mm-hmm. So, but we have seen a very big influx of internet providers that have provided new technology to these rural areas. And I live in one of those rural areas. You know, I was shocked when they were like, hey, real fiber internet is coming to your area. Do you want to be one of the first ones that signs up for it? I'm like, yeah. And mm-hmm. I mean, right off the bat, it's like, you know, 500, 600 meg download speeds. I'm like, in Dude, Palestine, like,
once you get used to being able to download a fucking Xbox game in 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah. Like yeah. It was shocking. It really was. It was honestly baffling to me. So, it is something that, is going to continuously change, gaming, with Game Pass and with this format. And I think Xbox is doing exactly what they talked about and just, you know, they're leading the scene with this style of gaming. And we can't knock them for it because, you know, they've talked about it since day one. And you talk about the Xbox One, but if you don't remember, right before the release and the announcement of the Xbox One, it was rumored everywhere that it was literally supposed to be a digital console. It was supposed to be a digital online console. And just like what you said, I'm telling you, somebody at Microsoft was like, let's get it out there and let's say it's a leak and a rumor and see how people react to it, you know? And then what do you see now? You know, you see these consoles that PlayStation and Xbox both have only digital consoles.
No, and now it's turning like physical copies of games into collector's editions because there are studios now that are no longer, you know, putting out, like, you know, Infernax was a special, you know, physical release, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Yeah.
You know, so but now you run the flip side of, do you really own the shit that you paid for? Because if Sony decides to shut down a server, like world, everybody golf. All right. I'm not a huge, I'm not a huge golf video game fan, but I have always been a fan of the Hot Shots golf series. I just have fond memories in my early 20s sitting around after, you know, taking care of some plants, you know, and playing Hot Shots golf and like doing ridiculous. Like, I don't know if there's any Hot Shots golf player out there, but there was a hole in Hot Shots Golf 2 in Scotland that if you were high enough level and you had your big air clubs, you could literally bang a golf ball over this castle and basically like two shot a par five.
Yeah.
But it was like the biggest tin cup swing period. Like if you didn't get it, you were screwed. But anyway, but like, you know, they closed those servers down and, you know, there goes your ability to check in and there goes your ability to play the game.
Yeah, so. I agree. So with that, we're going to move into our next topic at hand. look at Jeremy's face. Hold up. Let me switch this.
Well,
I got this, this thing is set up strange. I don't know how I'm an old man. Okay. And you guys are just going to have to deal with it. There we go. So, College Football 25, of course, has been officially revealed by EA. It's coming this July, and it is the return of college football.
Only matters to everybody who lives in the South.
Listen, I myself, I am super excited about this. Like, unbelievably excited.
Like, dude, when I lived in Florida, there were two questions that I got asked every time I met a new person down there. Who was my favorite college team and who my favorite driver was?
Bro.
And my answer was always, I don't know. I don't watch college ball. I watch the NFL. Listen. And then driver was like, me? And they'd be like, no.
I cannot wait for this, Toaster. Like it's not just one of those things. It's like, oh well, you know, it's a way of life. Now listen, this was my high school. Like, I can't tell you how many times we had tournaments. I'm,
like, high school in college ball in Texas is fucking massive. I know.
Oh my god, bro, it's going to be so amazing. The gameplay reveal that they've showcased here Looks fantastic.
Wasn't this all part of like the lawsuit too? Like, aren't the
yes? The, so the players now
getting aren't they getting like money or something?
The players now are getting paid for their appearance, which is great. It is 100% back in the aspect that we're going to have a full wear and tear system, pre-snap recognition, home field advantage. There's going to be great commentary and broadcasting, as well as a dynasty mode, Road to Glory, the Road to the College Playoffs, College Football Ultimate Team as well. So this is going to be a huge, huge release for EA, and it's going to be huge for college players as well. Something kind of that Jeremy just actually brought up, the fact that these players are actually going to be able to get paid for their appearance. They're going to have their, they get paid for their sponsorship deals. It's nuts. Somebody actually tweeted out, the perfect thing and said, if you're old enough to watch this and feel weird about having their, the players' names on the back of their jerseys, then I fuck with you. And like, that's so the truth, because all before it was very kind of Lego looking characters that had no representation of the actual players, because it was just like, okay, well, this guy's kind of good. You know, his coach and them are saying that he's good, so we're going to kind of ramp him up a little bit more. Each one of these characters are actually based off the players, and I think this is just going to be a really great release for EA Sports. And I can only hope and pray that this game is going to be have some type of presence at Summer Game Fest, so I can check it out, because I'm flipping out. So we're going to talk about something now that Toaster can get with a little bit more, and this is one of those things that I feel is going to make me and Toaster both lose ourselves into this game. Ubisoft has officially announced that Assassin's Creed Shadows is coming, and we are very excited about it. Toaster, what are you excited about with this game and with this announcement?
I'm excited because I think them announcing that they're going to do a game based in Japan during the samurai period, I think it's a bold move on Ubi's part. Yeah. And I think because, I mean, Sucker Punch with Ghost of Tsushima, that game is fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and the director's cut, absolutely gorgeous. Like, and you know, the whole of, you know, the using what's it, Kurosawa's influence in you know, the old Japanese samurai movies and things like that, like all of that going into Sucker Punch's game, I think the bar has been like great. Like, the bar is up here on what people are going to expect out of a game based on, you know, feudal Japan. I think the inclusion of the first African-American samurai in Yasuke, I think, is awesome. I cannot wait to play that character to see. I mean, he's literally a force of nature when you watch him in the trailer. Like, yeah. He's like, he's, you know, the one thing, like, with Assassin's Creed Origins, playing as Bayek, like, you could just feel with the way he moved the weight of that sword that he was hitting you with, and seeing Yasuke come out of that building with the club, like, you know, the whoever he hit with that is not getting back up.
Yeah, dude.
You know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I forgot the ninja's name, but I, you know, and the one thing I've always loved about the Assassin's Creed series, and something that they got way far away from, at least in my mind, is the stealth aspect of it. Like, I love the stealth side of games. Like, when I found out that, you know, leaving corpses in Dishonored led to a darker ending, I was like, all right, I'm just gonna leave unconscious people in my wake, I guess. And I did. I went back and I literally beat that game without killing one guard.
Did you really?
Yeah, I have the clean hand achievement. You know, I love those kind of games. I love being challenged and trying to, you know, like, you know, back when what was it? The Tom Clancy games, Rainbow Six. It was on the 360.
Splinter Cell?
No, not Splinter Cell. It was a Tom Clancy game.
Ghost Recon?
No, not Ghost Recon.
It was on the 360. It was like sneaking.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, it was like Splinter Cell, bro.
Oh, was Splinter Cell?
Yeah, bro. Yeah, it was Splinter Cell.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could get like the ghost rating and panther, like, you know. Bro. So, like, bringing the ninja aspect into Assassin's Creed, I think this game is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really interested to see. They haven't released gameplay stuff yet, have they? Just the trailers. No. All right, yeah, so
they're going to show. I think they're going to show
official at Summer Games Fest.
At Forward. Yep.
So I'm wondering if they're going to handle this like they did Syndicate, where you switch between the brother and sister.
I believe that's how they're planning it.
And this dude's accent does not match.
No, he doesn't. And like when I was watching that, I was like, okay. So the other character is Nawe, I think, is her name.
Nawe. If only we were sitting at a thing that allowed us to search the interwebs.
Yeah, I just did. It was Nawe. I even went to howtopronounce.com and played it. I was like, and it's like, Nawe? I'm like, yeah, that's it. So I think that's how they're going to do this. I think that it's going to be something that you can switch back and forth. I hope it's not linear, like you play as one up until a certain point and then you play as the other. I hope that you can switch back and forth when you want to. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be, I would think that they chose two characters. I think they chose two characters to, of course, tell two different sides of a story, but also for two different styles of gameplay, to where you didn't have to just, you know, in Valhalla, bro. I mean, in Valhalla, man, you just like, you were everything. I mean,
yeah, I actually never finished. It got too big.
Yeah.
Now, like, I haven't finished Odyssey.
That's where I like, you know, I'm showing now. That's where I have said it 1,000 times since I reviewed the game. Assassin's Creed Mirage is a great reintroduction of like what Assassin's Creed games kind of used to be, you know, because it was never anything that was like so much that you felt like your plate was just completely overboard with like, oh, I got to do this. I got, you know, this Viking mission to go to. Oh, also, I found out that I'm fucking Odin at the same exact time. Like, that was a huge thing, bro. Like, there was so much story in the game and it was great. But Mirage really brings things, like, to me, Mirage is one of the best Assassin's Creed that launched in it so long, because it was it wasn't an oversized map. It felt a lot more connected. I felt a lot more connected to the character than what I did with Ivor as well, because there wasn't like this thing that, oh, you're Ivor and you're also the reincarnation of, you know, Odin, and you're a spiritual connection. And this is just like, hey, bro, I'm Basim, you know, and I'm just a badass. Like, that's so I think that's what they're going to do with this game, too. I think that there is going to be some really great open world aspects with Assassin's Creed Shadow. But I think there's also going to be a smaller connective story that doesn't make you feel overcumbered. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's a right way and wrong way to do that. I think Odyssey was so big and there was so much to do in a map that was so big that you did get overwhelmed. I think, and you know, they're not going to be able to avoid the comparisons between them and Ghost of Tsushima. They're just not.
Oh no, there's no way, bro.
You know, and they take a page out of Sucker Punch's book, and I mean, the map in Ghost of Tsushima is pretty decently sized.
It is.
But it's a virtual representation of an island off the coast of Japan.
Yeah.
You know, so while it might be a big map, you're still, you know, limited because you have the villages and towns that the story takes place in. Everything else is just kind of exploration stuff, you know, or just side quests like following the fox to go get your blessings, or, you know, the random things you find that to improve your powers and things like that. I think that's the best way to kind of handle making a large game to keep people engrossed in it. But, you know, instead of making it like every, you know, you've got 15 quests at every stop that you can do on this massive map, make it small things that improve the gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, make it like a learning shrine, or, you know, you find it's a cave with some materials that you need to forge a weapon, you know, stuff like that, like stuff that enhances, you know, you've already got your story. It's a tight story, you know, keep it a tight story.
Yeah. And you said it perfectly too. Like, you know, add these type of things in that make the world not seem so big. And I think that's what, speaking of Ghost of Tsushima, and you know, I'm showing the director's trailer now, but speaking of Ghost of Tsushima, I think that's what they did really well with after they added the Iki Island DLC on there. So like, if you start out playing the director's cut of the game, it's hard for you not to be like, holy crap, there's a lot of stuff to do. Like, there's so much. But what's great about it is that it does feel separated. It feels like when you go to Iki Island, you still have like this really massive, beautiful world to go about and, you know, discover and do all this other stuff. But it feels very grounded. It feels, you know, closed. It feels like something that's not something that's going to just completely, like, you're going to lose yourself in. And I think that's what you, Ubisoft has to do with, I think that's what Ubisoft has to do with, Assassin's Creed Shadows, is make it, a notable game in the series, make it a notable game in the Assassin's Creed franchise, but learn from your mistakes. And they're good mistakes. That's what's weird, is that, you know, they're good mistakes. They're not, it's not that it was bad. It was like that,
you know, when you go to a Burger King, you ask for extra mayonnaise on your Whopper, and the person behind the counter is like, I'll give you extra mayonnaise. You know,
Five
Guys bag of life of fries.
Yo, I knew you were going to say Five Guys. So I'm going to say, from a Texas perspective, it's like when you're really hungry and you go to Whataburger and you're like, let me get the triple meat cheeseburger. And they're like, oh, okay. And you're like, that'd be good. And then you, it comes out and you open the package and it's just dripping with meat sweat. It's dripping with meat sweat. And there's cheese melted. And you're like, I'm going to be fucked after I eat this, bro.
The address for the nearest cardiology center is on the wrapper.
Bro, I'm telling you, like, my uncle is actually going to be
I saw somebody for Five Guys when like the guy looks at you and puts a whole other fucking scoop of french fries in the bag. You're like,
yeah, my uncle is going to be in Los Angeles at the same time, and he was like, you know, while we're there, we got to eat at this and that. And I was talking to somebody about it, like, bro, you got to go eat at Five Guys. And I'm like, we have Whataburger. And they were like, yeah, but like, Five Guys is Five Guys. I'm like, have you ever eaten at Whataburger? Okay, like, I don't think you realize they, when you order through the mobile app, it suggests you to change it from a regular regular meal to a large. You know, the cups are this big, the fries are like a squared stack. So I you know, it is that is Assassin's Creed as a whole now, is they got away from the smaller kind of like back and forth on the rail style gameplay to this open world, like, crazy experienced games. And I could talk about it as much as, I mean, you and me could sit here and talk about Assassin's Creed all day, but we both know that Valhalla was one of the best entries in the game. And still to this day, if you have not played it, I will say now is the time to play it. You can get Valhalla, like the ultimate gold edition, for like $29. And that'll give you like 300 something hours worth of gameplay. I mean, side quest, exploration, all this other stuff that you can do. But with this game, it can't be that. It can't be this over, like, there's way too many places to discover. This has to be more of a grounded style game to really compete with something like Ghost of Tsushima, because there is going to be a comparison. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You know, look towards Witcher 3.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. After the Hearts of Stone, the Blood and Wine DLC, like after they were done with the DLCs, Witcher 3 is fucking massive.
It really is.
But it keeps you engaged the entire time you're playing.
Yeah.
Because while you might not be, and this goes back to what I was saying, while you might not be doing a quest, there's a cool chest with a sword over there, you know? And it's, you know, it just enhances the gameplay because you're not like, oh, I got to stop and do this side quest. Like, you're not like, oh, here's this thing. Open it. Ooh, cool sword. All right. Continue on to the quest I was doing. You know, it's like the ghoul said in Fallout 3 or in the Fallout series. Don't forget the golden rule. One or thou shalt not get sidetracked by bullshit.
That's so the truth, bro. Thou shalt not get sidetracked by bullshit.
They did so good. They did such a good job with that series. Holy shit. They really did, bro. And there's a whole thing where everybody thinks Maximus has the idiot savant perk.
I would actually think yes. Yeah. And I think they did Maximus. They did Maximus but so good at the same time.
Oh man! And the fact that the power armor worked—like I could not believe it when he got in the suit. I was like, "You did it! You did it!" You know?
Yeah, bro. It was really honestly.
And there was the moment that Dog Meat was on the thing when he got hurt, and the ghoul was then. I was like, I swear to fucking God, Walter Goggins, if you kill that goddamn dog, we're gonna have a problem.
Yeah,
and then he hits him with the stim pack.
So with that, I'm gonna say that this is the end of our show. We've had a really great time talking about video games. I want to also give a really big shout out to all of our viewers. We had like 29 viewers on Cinelink's Twitter page, 17 on my Twitter page. And a few in and out on Facebook and on YouTube. So big shout out to the Twitter viewers today. Toaster, a really big shout out to Toaster. Anytime I ever need someone to just jump on a podcast, I always know that all I have to do is just hit up Toaster. And he's like, I don't have anything planned. Let's do it at 7. Let's get on there and talk about gaming. So please make sure to now what
I feel like I'm the emergency break glass.
No, not at all.
Yeah, no, like in a good way.
In a good way, I guess.
Yeah, no, like, it's like, you know, Toaster. It's like, oh, fuck, get Toaster.
Yeah, yeah. What socials do you have that you still use?
I don't have
Twitter anymore, right?
I do. I got back on that fucking cesspool. Okay. well, there's a few people that I do enjoy.
Yeah,
following and like their input, and you know there are some game studios that still use Twitter or Zitter, whatever the fuck we're calling it.
I still don't understand why they changed it. I don't know why they changed it to X, but then they still go with the name Twitter. It's so confusing
because it's everybody called it Twitter for fucking ever.
Yes,
it's actually Toaster McGee on Twitter again. I just think I ditched the underscore.
Oh, okay. So it's just straight Toaster McGee.
Just straight Toaster McGee. Just look for the profile pic that is Gary Busey as a Jedi holding the lightsaber upside down.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, definitely
look for it. also, please make sure to follow Cinelinks on Twitter. We're going to have a ton of news and a ton of content coming out. Over the next few weeks, there's tons of movie news that's coming out. We have some really, really great, content over at Cinelinks.com. If I can find my links, I sure as hell don't seem like I was even prepared to podcast today, but you know, I'm an old man now, so
I'm just gonna also just a warning. If you do follow me on Twitter, I have opinions about other things than gaming, and I am very full about them.
He doesn't just have opinions. He has second opinions. I remember that, bro. I remember at PAX East, Hip Hop Gamer being there and being like, I got a second opinion, all right? And we used that for our intro for so long. Let's see what...
Dude, shout outs to Hip Hop. That guy...
Yeah, bro.
Hey, listen. Go like years without seeing him, and I'd randomly show up at a PAX, and he'd be like, "Toaster," and he'd come over and give me a giant, massive hug where I felt I was being broken in two. Because man is ripped.
There's this LD Tatum. It says, "Let's see what drama this topic brings." I'm sure
you can't do that at the end of a podcast.
Let's see. That was at 12:49. So it's got to be the Assassin's Creed thing, since everybody. Nuts to me that everybody was talking about how the main character.
Oh, we completely didn't talk about the internet.
We didn't talk about that, bro.
It was like angry at the, you know what it is? We're so numb to people just being stupid on the internet.
Yes,
you know,
bro.
It's like
we really are, just, honestly.
And it's because it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a movie. It could be a comic book. It could be a book. It could be a fucking Home and Garden magazine, like where they I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. The point is every time there's a game that comes out with a woman protagonist, a character of an ethnicity other than a white dude,
yeah,
and everybody flips the fuck out.
Flips out, bro.
Why?
Because they're idiots.
Like, I'm not going to play the game. Okay, don't play the fucking game.
And you know what's crazy? If you're
insecure over who you are, then, dude, I don't want to fucking even acknowledge that you have the ability to think, let alone breathe.
What's crazy is that the characters are based on real people.
Right. Like oh, that's fake.
Yeah, bro. It's nuts to me. But anyways, head on over to CineLeaks. As you can see right now, we have some really great reviews that we did recently.
The only controversy that topic brought, dude, is the fact that Caleb and I both agree that people that are upset about that are fucking stupid.
Fucking idiots. Idiots, bro.
And they're probably the same people that don't realize the Empire was the analogy for Nazi Germany.
Yeah. Yes, bro. And you know what? As much as people hate the new trilogy, I feel like the one scene that they destroyed the Republic with the giant planet laser, I feel like that was the moment that if you didn't realize that this was Nazi Germany, then this was the moment that you realized this was Nazi Germany, because like he's having that whole speech. He's like, "We will, blah, blah, blah."
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, bro. And then you just see it. It's like, fire. Oh, no, bro.
My only beef with the new trilogy is somehow Palpatine's returned.
Bro, listen.
And that line was so dumb. Listen. That Dave Filoni had to go into the toy box chest of Star Wars things to figure out a way to retcon enough to fix that. Hence, we got what they were dealing with in The Bad Batch, which if you haven't watched The Bad Batch, holy shit, watch The Bad Batch.
Yeah, you should watch it. It's great. It's really great. And then what's coming up next? Acolyte?
Acolyte's coming out. Which is going to be our first series during the High Republic.
Yes, and that's going to be great.
So
Coder. So, I'm trying to look at the ones that Jordan did recently. He did If, and then I finally was able to get my Dragon's Dogma 2 review up, which is a great RPG. You should definitely check it out. We also had Terret, Mars Express, which was, an animated movie. And then game reviews. We got some really good reviews coming up soon, but the latest was, of course, you know, South Park Snow Day. Happy Funland, and Hi-Fi Rush for the PlayStation, Alone in the Dark, you know, WWE, much more. So we're going to have some really great content.
We're going to release it on PlayStation too. All right. Bye, Steve. Yes,
exactly. So we're going to have some really great content coming out of Summer Game Fest. I'm very excited to be able to actually be at the event. And speaking of Hip Hop Gamer, when I posted that I'd been invited to the event, and that I was going to be there, my phone started blowing up, and I pick it up, and he's like, "My bro, Second Opinion in the building." He's like, "You just hyping me up." I'm very excited. I get to see him. I think Jay Shockblast is going to be there. A good chunk of other people are going to be there as well. So I'm excited to see a good chunk of people that I haven't seen in some years. So the last event that I went to, I think, was E3 2019. So it's been some time, but you know, one of these days I'm going to get this old man out of his wheelchair and, you know, maybe we'll be able to meet up in person at an event again. So yes, It's probably not even going to be at an event, honestly. Like, I'm going to my uncle is constantly like telling me, like, you need to hurry up, get something planned so you can come over to New York. So if I come to New York, I'm going to have to hit y'all up and be like, hey, I'm in New York.
The city's only 3.5 hours from me.
Yeah. Let's meet in the middle. Let's go somewhere and look at, statues of history or
statues of history.
But anyways, guys, this is
if we do that, we should definitely do a second opinion podcast of us at a museum looking at statues.
Oh yeah, bro, like live. Yes, dude.
No, and both of you and I using our radio voices to be like, this is Abraham Lincoln.
Yes,
he did some stuff.
he did all kinds of stuff.
Good things, and he has a statue.
Don't get me talking about Abraham Lincoln and like the weird connection between him and John F. Kennedy. You know, like look into it. It's super weird. Oh,
next thing you're in, George Hisakis' hair is going to show up soon.
Exactly.
Aliens.
But anyways, guys, episode 357 of the Second Opinion Podcast has now come to a close. Make sure to check us out sometime soon. You got anything planned next week, Toaster?
Yeah.
Let's shoot for next week. And I'm going to force Bolts to...
Mrs. Toaster is going to Vermont, so I'm pretty much free the entire weekend.
I'm going to force Bolts to join us through his phone. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would very much enjoy to have Bolts on with
you. Yes, and I've told him
that's
before.
Never happened. There's never been Toaster Bolts.
Yeah, that's true. Then we would have three bald bearded men. And if we could get, the other, we could get Jason on here, then we're going to have four.
He's too busy talking about men in tight shorts.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, WWE.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure to comment, like, and subscribe. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. And of course, you can watch us. We're just going to shoot for it. I'm just going to say it, and Tosh is just going to agree with it. You can watch us every week live through Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Maybe not every week, but at least every other week.
If you did every week, I'd be down too. But yeah, I'll be here.
Yeah, we're going to start doing a lot more of these live events. So I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace out.
Later.
I don't know if I should just straight end it, or I